What is the fruit of the Spirit and why does it matter? In Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, after revealing the works of the flesh, Paul said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The point is that he's making here is that the fruit of the Spirit is something that we choose to display based upon the instruction that the Spirit has given to us. If you'd like, turn back to Luke 8, and we're going to notice beginning at verse... Let's look at Jesus' explanation of the parable. We'll look at verse 10 beginning. Luke 8 and verse 10. The parable of the sower, and we'll just read Jesus' explanation. "He said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." I emphasize that point. The parable is this, the seed is the word of God. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no," notice the word there, "fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Bringeth forth fruit. When they hear the word, they keep it. Bring forth fruit with patience. The fruit of the Spirit in the Bible refers to the results achieved by those who choose to benefit from the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the word, that seed that is planted in the hearts of people. The seed, which is the word of God, Luke 8 and verse 11, was delivered by the Holy Spirit, but it did not produce fruit until it was planted in good and honest hearts. As Jesus said, the seed was never bypassed or circumvented by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. It was the word that was preached that always brought the faith and brought the response to that faith. And we talked about that a good bit last week. But you know, you think about the gardens that we plant. A garden will not grow without seed, but a seed will not grow unless it's planted in good soil. And so Jesus used an illustration that anyone could understand in teaching the parable of the sower. In talking about the Christian armor, Paul said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In other words, the instrument by which the Spirit works is the word that he inspired the apostles and the prophets to record for us. Paul said, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Paul said, the gospel has everything that we need to be satisfactory in the eyes of God. And so that word is planted in our hearts. So the fruit of the Spirit refers to the results produced by the words of the Spirit in the life of the believer. Well, can that be demonstrated for each one of these items that are called collectively the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let us see. All right, the first thing that we're told that we're to have is love. And this is agape, the highest form of love, the kind of love that would make a mother do without food to buy medicine for her children, the kind of love that returns good for evil with the hope of changing, of touching just one heart and changing one life, the kind of love that lets us shed real tears of sympathy. Romans 12 and verse 15 says, "Let us rejoice with them that do rejoice, and let us weep with them that weep." Well, when we have true sympathy, when we have the kind of love that we're supposed to have, the kind of sympathy that will be the kind with which those tears would flow easily, because we really care, because we're truly concerned. That's the kind of love that the Bible teaches us that we're to have. It's the kind of love that teaches the truth regardless of our relationship, whether it be a parent, a child, brother or sister, grandparent, grandchild, it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth, and it's the kind of love that says, "I want your soul to be saved, and I'm going to tell you the truth about whatever it is." But let's get back to the point. How is this fruit? How is that kind of love developed? Well, the Bible says it's developed through the Word of God. In Ephesians 3, a passage we looked at last week, in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, that when ye read, Paul said, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He said, when you read, you can understand it. Drop down to verse 17 of Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love, this fruit of the Spirit. He said, how are we going to come to that condition? How are we going to have that kind of love? He said, when you read and understand my knowledge of the mystery that I wrote down for you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. How will we know the love of Christ? Paul said, it's when you read what I wrote to you. Very simply, it passes knowledge. You might be filled with the fullness of God. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. How did we know the truth? Because the Spirit revealed the truth. Unto unfeigned or unpretended what? Love of the brethren. So how does that love come? It comes through the Word of God. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So how does that love come? The Scriptures say very clearly it comes from the revealed Word, the Word revealed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3 and verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He doesn't reference a feeling or an emotion, but a direct communication that came from the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets in the first century New Testament, speaking of the New Testament. There was things that were written down for us that will make us complete in Christ. And when we read those things, we are to develop that kind of love. That is one of those things classified as the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what about the second one, joy? This comes from a word that means calm delight. It appears 63 times in 60 verses in the New Testament. 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What did he say? We're writing these things so that your joy may be full. It wasn't an emotion. It wasn't a feeling, something better felt than told. It was a communication. It was words that were given that brought joy to the heart. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, the Bible says the Ethiopian eunuch, after he had been baptized, the Spirit called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no longer. But what happened to the eunuch? The eunuch went on his way doing what? Rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. He had the joy that he had learned about from that study of the Scriptures with Philip. Even the backsliding Christian is a person who has once enjoyed the message of God's salvation. Let's go back to Jesus and listen to him. Luke 8 and verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. There's our word. Receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Joy is clearly tied to the word of God, delivered by the Holy Spirit to the apostles and prophets of the first century, the New Testament being under consideration. Well, what about the third fruit, or that which is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Peace, which means quietness or rest, or one that has said it one again. Peace with God comes through reconciliation. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. So we are justified. When we are justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, tied to the Word. Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received, now listen, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Where was that peace going to come? By doing the things that they had heard with their ears that Paul had told them to do. We find again in Colossians 3 verse 13 beginning, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, Even as Christ also forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity. Well, that gets back to the love issue, doesn't it? Okay, so we're told again to put on love. He said, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How did they know to have that peace? Because an inspired apostle told them to. Because the Holy Spirit gave that word to Paul to write. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. How were they called? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. By the gospel. Go back to the parable of the sower. Everything that Jesus said is coming true, isn't it? Every one of these things, every one of these characteristics is something that the Holy Spirit has told us to develop. That's how we develop the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know what fruit of the Spirit to develop. So how does the Spirit produce peace? By the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, the next one, what about long-suffering, which means patience or forbearance? Well, we know that we ought to be patient because God is patient with us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, that He's long-suffering with us, not willing that any should perish. But how do we learn to be long-suffering? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, because we're told to by the Holy Spirit in His Word that was delivered by inspiration to the apostles. Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness. There's our word. And long-suffering. How do we know to be long-suffering? Because the Holy Spirit, through His words, told us to be long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. That went back to the first one, didn't it? That's twice that's happened. Because love involves all of these. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at Colossians 3, verses 10 through 12. Colossians 3, verses 10 through 12. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. How do I know that I am to have this part of that list of the fruit of the Spirit, that part called long suffering? Because the Bible tells me to repeatedly, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye these things. And above all these things, put on charity. We noticed that a moment ago, and that keeps coming up. What about gentleness? What about gentleness? In Colossians 3 and verse 12, gentleness is actually mentioned there. The King James Version says, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. But that gentleness is a word that means kindness, as he has mentioned in this list here. It's coming from the same word, actually. And so once again, we find that we're told in the Scriptures to do this thing, to be gentle. When you think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you think about the kind of person that she was a kind person, she was a gentle person. You think about Barnabas, the son of consolation, he was a kind person, he was a gentle person. That word gentleness comes from a word that also means moral excellence. Moral excellence. And we think about that in Mary and Barnabas and probably others. Romans 11, 22 says this, though. Behold, therefore, the goodness, from the same word, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. How do we know how to continue in the goodness of God? We would have to have instruction. We would have to know what goodness is. We would have to know what He tells us to do to be good. Where do we find that? We find it in the Word. Remember, the seed was the Word of God, and a sower went forth to sow. It all goes back to what Jesus taught. What about faith? There was one other passage in regard to goodness. And I don't know if I mentioned goodness, but when we talk about goodness, we probably think about that which is also virtuous. And that word is used in some translations. If you think of a person who is virtuous, who do you normally think of? The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, right? Okay, we think about that person in this context of goodness or virtuousness. But in Ephesians 5, verse 1, listen to what Paul says. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Is in all goodness. There's our word again. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What is the truth? Jesus prayed for his disciples to the Father. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17 and verse 17. So through the truth of God's word, we find that we are to not only be gentle, but we're to be good. We are to have that quality of goodness or being virtuous. Well, what about faith then? Well, that's easy. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But look at one other passage, Hebrews 4, 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Words preached, faith, but they refused. Go back to the parable of the sower, and we find a parallel there. It did not profit them. It was not mixed with faith. He goes on, for we which believed do enter into rest. As he said, I've sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The point that the Hebrews writer is making there in Hebrews 4 verses 1 and 2 in particular is that the gospel is preached, and the only way it will benefit us is if we hear it and respond to it in faith. Fruit of the Spirit is faith. Where does it come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. What about meekness? The word is also translated in some versions, gentleness or humility. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 1, beginning, he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. We read that a moment ago, but that's the word is there. He keeps telling us these things. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? In a spirit of meekness. Why? Because it's part of that which is called the fruit of the Spirit. Well, right, but because we need to understand that we could be tempted as well, and that's what he goes on to say. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. James 1 and verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You see, one of the reasons we need to have that as a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, is that we will be humble enough to admit that we need to hear the gospel and that we need to respond to it and that we need to obey the gospel of Christ. Well, how does the Spirit do that? Through the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, temperance or self-control. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. How do we get that knowledge? Paul said, because it was given to me as an inspired apostle, and I wrote it down so that when you read it, you can understand it and you'll have it. You can hold on to it. He goes on to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. We keep coming back to love, don't we? Because love encompasses all of these things. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the word of God will be dwelling within us. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. What is Paul saying? What is Peter saying? The same thing that Paul did. God has given us direction. God, the Holy Spirit, has inspired men to write down what God wanted us to do. And we have in that word all scripture that can make us complete in Christ. So how do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? Is it some emotion? Is it some feeling that we have? No, it is a direct response to the words of the Holy Spirit that we find written in the scriptures. No one will force us to love. No one will force us to be patient. No one will force us to be temperate. No one will force us to have virtue. No one will force us to do any of those things. The Holy Spirit will not force anyone to do that. He will not force us to be saved directly. We will not find in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit saved anyone directly nor forced anyone to be saved against their will. It's just like Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow, and he said the seed that was sown was the word of God. When the word of God is sown into the hearts of good and honest people, it will germinate and it will grow and it will produce fruit. If that seed finds fertile soil in our hearts, then we can expect it to find a bountiful harvest. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 20, "By their fruits ye shall know them." By their fruits ye shall know them. In that context, in all fairness, he's talking about false teachers. But what he's saying is, you can watch a person and listen to a person, and you can know whether they belong to the Lord or whether they belong to Satan. Whether they're teaching the truth or whether they're not teaching the truth. How could I ever know whether I was teaching the truth? Because Jesus said the truth is the word of God. And I can know it. John 8 and verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we bearing fruit? Does the fruit of the Spirit become apparent and evident through the lives that we live? If it does, it's not because of an emotion or a feeling of some kind, something better felt than told. It is because the Holy Spirit inspired all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, so that we have all in our hands. We hold today all that we need to know to become a Christian and to be pleasing unto God. The Bible tells us that we start that process by faith. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin." John 8 and verse 24. The Bible tells us that we must repent of our sins. It's a command, Acts 17 and verse 30. And that we must be willing to confess our faith, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And that burial in Christ through baptism, that our past sins will be washed away, because as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it is for the purpose of the remission of sins. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, a statement so clear, have to have help to get around it and you still couldn't make it. But Peter said, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." The person that is searching for a good conscience and knows that the Lord has commanded us to be baptized, he will do what the Lord has told him to do, because that good conscience is what he wants. It's what he's going to have, and he's not going to wait on anybody and not let anyone get in his way and prevent him from having that good conscience through obeying the gospel. As a child of God, we walk in the light and have the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. 1 John 1, 7 tells us that. Verse 9 also tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Everything I need to know to become a Christian and to live the Christian life, I can hold in my hand. And I can do that. I can develop the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit has told me what he wants us all to do. And when the word dwells in my heart, if it's a good and honest heart, we will bear fruit abundantly. Are we bearing fruit for the Lord tonight? If not, why not change that? Would you come as we stand and as we sing?